SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Get ready for the best hour of your grid day.
You heard it here first. The best hour of your day on Sports Grid starts now with your host, Kevin Walsh.
One of the easy ones, Donnie, where you look at it and the complaint starts to be, how about not bet that for more? You know what I mean? Like,
and Donnie Wrightside.
And I would like to see all the weight and anger and might of the NCAA/Big Ten smash that program into smithereens for the next 3 years.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
It's a Monday afternoon right here on the Sports Grid Network, the best hour of your day, which is what? You know what it is. It's Moneyline right here on the Sports Grid Network. It's Donnie and Kevin, and away we go on a national championship Monday afternoon. Michigan versus Washington for all of the marbles in Houston. How are we feeling today?
Excited about it. It should be a... It'll be interesting. I'm on the under. How about that? We'll start off.
Wow. Now, why on the under, though? Let's start there. What's going on?
Some of it is the cap, which you're probably not as interested in. And if this was Texas or Alabama were in this game, I would never touch the under. But I can't believe I don't have a future in this game. It hurts my soul, Donnie.
You know what hurts my soul? Not having a single guy on Washington to bet on tonight. That hurts my soul.
What do you mean?
Everything is coming up Michigan tonight. Whether it's Blake Corum, Roman Wilson, Colston Loveland, J.J. McCarthy. I just think it's going to be like a seafood buffet tonight of everybody wide open and running wild tonight against Washington.
Yeah, I expect J.J. McCarthy to throw the ball less than like 20 times in this game.
Still though. I mean, come on. We saw the other night or last week? MVP of the NFL, throw it about 22, 23 times, 21 times, 350. Could happen.
Oh, Lamar, yeah. The thing with Michigan, Donnie, is they really don't trust that kid. They really do not. And the ground game will be able to do likely whatever it wants tonight. So because of that, I think they'll have to be trailing to put J.J. McCarthy in the position to throw the football a ton. That's my feeling on it.
I think it's a great game tonight. And you know, Ben and I were breaking it down this morning. And, you know, either way for me, because there are many different ways this game could play out. The most likely in my mind is Michigan wins by a touchdown or more in this game. But I would not be surprised if you got a really great effort out of Washington tonight and they win this game outright and win it by 7+ points. So I was saying, if you like either side, like, hey, I like Michigan. We don't know about the points. Don't worry about that. Winning this football game doesn't need the points, which means if you like Washington, don't take the points as, oh, they're going to keep it close at the end of the game. No, they're going to win this game. I don't think the points come into play tonight. Both sides win, not comfortably, because it could be a one-possession game, but I don't think the points matter tonight. I don't.
I mean, to some degree, it's not a scorching hot take that by saying, hey, I don't think Michigan's going to win between 1 and 4 because it's such a small margin. But, I mean, also, look, 7-3, you're covering that football game. So I would not just disregard 4.5 points is still a good chunk of points, especially with how close those games were last Monday. I mean, an overtime game and then a game that came down to the last possession. Now, decided by 6 and 7 respectively, but still, I don't think 4.5 points is the type of number you just disregard. It's not 2.5 or 2.
Now, usually you take a look and say, well, I don't want to take, like, you know, numbers that seem a bit too high at this point. I'm going to tell you right now, and I know this does have a little bit of, you know, injuries in football are a big deal, right? They do matter, obviously. But I know you like this thing, like, well, I'll just take everybody to the under because there's a really good chance that somebody might get injured, which is always a hilarious take at it. But I know some people are like, hey, you know, I'm going to start the game and I'm winning the game right off the bat, and that's all I really care about. But for me, -400, -380, -370. Blake Corum's going to score a touchdown tonight. That is written in a stone tablet already. So the question would be, well, I'm not laying that much money. What happens if I told you it was free money? If you lended your friend at 6 o'clock tonight for $100, right? Or how would it? No, you lend them $400, and at the end of the night, he hands you back $500. Like, that's the way I feel like it's going to be tonight.
Yeah, I don't. It's really hard to argue considering he scored in every single game.
Yes.
And Washington can't stop the run. And I actually think it's a good point in that, you know, we've seen Corum Donnie with -1,000. So it's this rare thing where basically The old adage for people when the Super Bowl comes out, right? Man, you bet a Super Bowl prop, you know, 72 hours out, you're an idiot. You got the worst of the number. Like, shut up. I hate that stuff. In fact, the reason that the Blake Corum number isn't minus 1,000 is because it's the national championship. But when you look at Washington, what they're bad at, and the fact that Corum has hit this in 100% of games, yes, you're right. There's value on the minus 400 number, undeniably.
Yeah. No, it's a fun game to play into because, again, we're not dealing with lower scoring. Like, even if it, like Michigan versus Alabama, you know, 45, you know, needs overtime and gets over the total. I think we're going to be a little bit more free-flowing. The thing I do like for Michigan's side is, like, you're not playing in Ohio State, in Michigan, in Penn State. And the reason I say that is, ooh, cold conditions, you know, wind's going to get in the way, because that just plays right into what you exactly would love for Michigan. Oh, you're going to tell me you're going to play in bad weather? Like, who wouldn't take Michigan tonight? But I do think, like, Michael Penix and that Washington offense has no choice but to sling it all over the place, which I think is very good here for scoring Michigan-wise. And so, well, Donnie, wouldn't that be great for? It might be great for Washington. But if I'm looking at scores, meaning like Michigan just can't go like this, Kevin, right? I'm playing Iowa, man. Handoff. Ha, three and out the other way. Michigan is going to have to keep the pedal down today. Like, I love Michigan's team total. Michigan's going to be in the 30s tonight. I really believe that.
They can get into the 30s, but Don, they're going to play this game at a snail's pace. And they're going to run the football on 80% of their plays as long as they're leading or tied.
I love it.
No, I'm not saying you don't love, but I'm talking about, but we're talking about the total in this game, right? Mm-hmm. And at the end of the first drive is Michigan football 7-0. Typically, yes. You'd go, let's go, we're on pace. And then you look up and you go, hold on a minute, there's 6:58 left in the first quarter. Now, hold on. That's where we're. That's what I'm expecting tonight. I trust Michigan's offense more in this game tonight, which is why I like the under. Which is why I think that, you know, this game does end up pushing towards an under here at 56.5.
Now you like this. So we do a triple option on the morning show. My total bet in this game, Kevin, first half under 28.5. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I like it. Again, I'm not, you know, imagine the world. I'm like, look, I think the first half has about 45 points in, and then we really slow this thing down.
Yes, exactly. Then Michigan gets in and says, you know what, Washington, you only get it 1 second in possession. You better do something with it, and the way you go into that. Yeah, I get it. I get it, that. But I think there's more scoring than not scoring. I'm not in love with the total, but if you had to say, Don, a free bet here, I probably would go over the total. But I just like the way I think Michigan's going to be able to do whatever they want on offense, run or pass.
Here's what I think it counteracts a little bit the RS. So you have under 28.5. Give me a rough ballpark first half score. Just rough ballpark.
Yes. Let me say here. 14-10.
Okay. Michigan then will do. I mean, we saw what they did in the second half against Alabama. They went, thank goodness, man. Halftime. This game's over, run it every play. And then they got put up against it. And I'm telling you right now, Michigan's takeaway from that was not, oh, that was a mistake. We need to start throwing 75-yard deep shots. It's, no, we did exactly what we were supposed to. We kept the game close, and if we had to, you know, open it up a little bit, we did. But again, the game was on the line. What'd they do? They threw a swing pass, right? A little flat route. Michigan is going to continue to move this ball slow, and I think the deep shots won't be there in bulk tonight for Penix since they were able to take it away from Milroe.
Here's what I need tonight again. Happened in the Alabama game. You give me a Blake Corum reception touchdown tonight. Oh, the party's going to be started over in the household. We are getting ready for a national championship Monday night right here on the Sports Grid Network. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
National Championship Monday night. We're going to get back to that because Kevin and I agree that Michigan rolls tonight way over the total. The way we go off into the sunset
Why?
Here.
I just think
I'm going to have to wear on you for this. Like, I just want you to enjoy the game tonight, though. I really do. Like, sit back, relax, be all Michigan up in the seat.
Uh-huh. Again, I have, like, my real reasonings on the under, but I do think part of the reason I'm even more willing to bet this under is I won't enjoy this game no matter what happens. I really am distraught that I'm not walking into this game with a future.
With an angle.
Like, do you know how, like, just get down. That's all I wanted, and just we didn't get it. So, it is what it is.
I love the Super Bowl every year. But just to play into this, this wasn't even a wager, right? 2002 season, 2003 early, Bucks beat the Eagles to go to the Super Bowl. Uh-huh. Bucks are playing the Raiders. I'll be damned if that Super Bowl was even like a care all week long. Like I'm being tortured to watch this. Because you want to be excited by an angle that's like, you know, I've been riding this all year. Let me see it play out. Like for me, like we end up in Las Vegas, right? And the Eagles probably aren't going to be there. Right. But you line me up with the Ravens going toe-to-toe with the Niners or, let's just say, the Bills. Like, I'm in on that because I'm invested futures. There's sides. There's intrigue and all that stuff. So I feel you on that. And especially it's like, well, it wasn't like, man, I'd have done it at a long shot. Rode it all year long. Just didn't work out my favor. Like, no, you were riding in there like, look, I just need one of these two teams in each game just to play decent football, and then I'm in, and then it's going to be the greatest, like, you know, championship game because I already am bringing in a nice side, and then I'll figure out what I want to do during the game. Mm-hmm. And now it's like watching, like, two exes battle it out. You're like, this is terrible.
Exactly.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I hate both these schools for what they did to me. I did, though, take, and I was curious if you were, by the way, us not getting the 1-1 last night.
No, you know, it's funny about that. Let me just double down on that. I was watching that game. I sent you a text, only to realize in the morning it never went through and had like the X on it. But my exact thing was, how did we not win the 1-1?
Because right.
I'm like, again, because I was exhausted, but it's hard to have a full work day, drive home, you got a couple bets in, you're laying down, like, oh, as soon as I get home, let me just change into some PJs and just fall asleep immediately. It's like, no, I want to watch the end of the game because it was a great game and I wanted to enjoy it. They get down there. I think it was Shakir that went out like the 3-yard line, and I just start getting up and sit up in my bed and be like, this is it here. And also, keep in mind, I had other bets that I needed a certain running back to get 40 yards. And I'm like, we cover it right here. He runs in from the 4, touchdown, catch that ticket. Then I wait on Tua, who again was really bad and couldn't throw for 200 yards. But as soon as he lost yards, I'm like, I know how this plays out, man. I already knew it. I'm shocked we lost that.
But here was the crazier thing. So we go into halftime with every leg done but the Bills rushing touchdown angle.
Yes.
But I had a pregame bet on Josh over 1.5 passing touchdowns. So I said, I go, oh, this is amazing. Because I'm making money on any Bills touchdown that follows. And then when they return that touchdown, I go, this can't be real. Like, there is no possible way that I'm not going to win. Like, that was the only scenario, Donnie, where I didn't make money. Because I needed a rushing touchdown or Josh to throw one. Now, obviously, he still ended up throwing one. But, I mean, that game just died 1,000 deaths. Josh Allen should have thrown about 6 touchdowns in that game, quite frankly.
Yeah, for the favorite one that we had was, Stephon Diggs opened by 15 yards and just airmailed him at that point. Let's get to the phone lines. We're going to have a hot show here, certainly over the airwaves as well. Let's get to it. 844-843-6879. Andrew in Virginia. He's ready to rock and roll. Let's bring him up here. What's good, Andrew?
Let's do it. I smashed Buffalo last night at -120 on the money line. Got in early. Yeah, loved it. Had to sweat all game, but I felt good about it, and we got there. A couple things. You got your Tony Pollard touchdown on Sunday. I hope you bet that.
Yep. I didn't, and I'm mad at myself for that.
What else? As far as this game tonight goes, I liked Washington early on, just about every different way. Mm-hmm. But I think it's going to be really close, so I'm off it. As far as your Blake Corum touchdown, it's probably going to come through. But is there really value there? And I know you're very passionate. Oh, it's a lock! It's a lock! It's a lock! I remember 20 years ago when the Philadelphia Eagles went down to Tampa Bay and Bruce Gronkowski beat the Eagles that day on a late field goal from Matt Bryant. And I remember being in Philly and listening
to the
radio.
Like 57, 58
yards? The guys on the radio.
Yep.
Like, yeah, something like that. It might have been 60.
Yep.
It might have been Matt Bryant that kicked it. But
yes, it was.
All the guys on the radio said, it's a lock. We're going into Tampa Bay. It's a lock. We're going to win. So, you know, crazy things happen. What I really want to talk to you guys about is the Chiefs-Dolphins game. I got in early. Once the game ended last night, I got the money line at -154 Chiefs. I got the spread at -3 at -110. I even saw a -3 at -103, and I just couldn't get the money in quick enough. I'm still angry about that. But I don't see how this isn't a Chiefs spot. It's already up to close to
minus 200. I think it's at minus 190. I think it's going to be minus 200. I think they got the line wrong. I think it should be closer to a touchdown. Miami's banged up. The Chiefs have a little mini bye. They rested their players. They're going to run the ball. Pacheco, they're going to be the more physical football team. It's going to be cold. You have the pedigree, mm-hmm. the heart of a champion in Patrick Mahomes. What am I missing?
So I don't think you're missing anything. I think the reality is the books don't believe in the Chiefs this year in the way they used to. And for the most part, they've been proven correct in that. Now, they still win a division, finishes the third overall seed. But remember, this is a game that was played in London under 2.5, right? Now, maybe there's not enough of a home field advantage bump coming here, Donnie, right?
Mm-hmm.
But since those, or not London, excuse me, Germany. But since Germany, the Chiefs' offense has only looked worse. So
you're right.
I think there's got to be some projection that, Miami is getting Mostert, Waddle, Xavier Howard all potentially back. I do think Miami can go in Arrowhead and get themselves a win. I really do believe that. I haven't made any wagers yet in the in the playoff pictures. There's a couple things I'm trying to figure out, but early look for me. But again, like I'm betting on Mahomes, against Mahomes, it doesn't feel great. But I do think Miami is live in the game.
I do think Miami's live, but here he brings up a good point, though, is it is going to be bone-chilling conditions, Kevin. Wind chill looks like around zero on Saturday, which, and I'm not going to say like the Dolphins can't play or win in that, but when you're a banged-up football team in freezing cold on the road, it's so hard. And again, it just gets back to the point last night, Kevin, right? Miami wins that game. They're home for two games in Miami, 80 degrees,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's like, well, who are we going to have to play for the number one seed? Well, it's probably going to be Baltimore. Is that freezing cold, harsh conditions that you might get of 0 degrees? Probably not in Baltimore. You're going to an absolute worst case scenario because they're a beat up, banged up football team that lost basically their Super Bowl of the season two straight weeks to end it. So it's a tough one. But last night as we were talking, doing the set, the one team that I look at here, like remove Cleveland, right? Because everybody's higher on Cleveland. I think Cleveland has a legitimate chance to do some damage. But the one team that everybody I think has their foot on their neck, it's the Dolphins. Like, can't do it. But you're right. If I get a clean practice report this week, hey, but Waddle looks really good on Thursday. Mostert's back. Tua Tagovailoa is going to take a lot of heat for last night. Come on, man. Take everybody's favorite weapons away and see how great they are on offense. Like the last play of the game, they don't have Mostert, they don't have Waddle, they don't have Tyreek Hill. It's like, well, what did you... Right. Oh, man, he couldn't make it happen. Who was he throwing to? Smythe? I mean, stop. Come on now.
Craycraft?
Exactly. So I give him a little bit of a bonus. And by the way, they were winning that football game at the half, Kevin. They win that football game in the fourth. And help me out here. No punt return? Miami wins that football game, probably, because Buffalo is dead in the water, not doing anything here, trying to get themselves back in that football game. I love, like, when the playoff matchups came out, like you were saying them last night, but I needed to, like, see it on, like, a desktop and say, what can we do here? And I love it, man. Mm-hmm. There's a couple key matchups. There's numbers that stick out like a sore thumb, and I think we talked about it yesterday also. The Detroit Lions game, I'm only -3. Look, I love the Rams. I love what they're doing. They took the bye. They did everything right. But something about saying like, field goal game, it's in Detroit, no big deal. No, it is a big deal that game is in Detroit. So I'm looking forward to this weekend a lot. There's a lot of great stuff here.
Yeah, absolutely. And here's the incredible thing with that. Just to, again, we'll see when we get there, right? You and I, there'll be plenty of times we'll give you what we think on a Monday and then we'll talk on a Friday. Mm-hmm. Like, listen, it changes. Which offense do you trust more in Dolphins Chiefs?
Gotta see those playoff reports. Gotta see those practice reports, people, as we get after it. We got a national championship game coming up tonight. We'll hit that much, much more and certainly set the table for this coming weekend in the NFL. We'll be right back. It's Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back to Moneyline with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
Big Monday night. Why? Obviously a national championship game in college football. A huge weekend this weekend. Wildcard weekend, divisional round weekend. Can't get enough of it. Sensational stuff. The big boys come out to play and away you go here. And then the top dogs in each conference and divisional round pop back into the fold next week. So doubleheader on Saturday, tripleheader on Sunday, singular game on Monday night football, which will be our Eagles versus Tampa Bay Buccaneers here. So That's going to be one to watch. That's going to be some fun here, K-Dub.
Now, I know the phone lines are hot. Do I get to just kind of derail us for a second, or do you want to get to the phone?
It's no, go ahead. Derail us. Yeah, derail us real quick.
So I went to the sandwich shop by me today. It's very good. It's called Sorrento's. Little free plug. But you are, obviously, Donnie, when it comes to sandwich shops, you would be the go-to.
Yeah.
You are the authority.
Yeah.
So the guy who makes it has now recognized me. I was at this place actually last week, I think a week ago tomorrow. And he saw me and he's like, "Hey, tuna?" I'm like, "Psh, unbelievable. Yes, let's line it up, right?" Now, that to me is the top level respect when a guy remembers the order.
Yes,
here's the issue.
It is.
I went in today and I was in the mood for the roast beef and the turkey. So he saw me. All excited, like, "Tuna?" And I'm like, "Actually, I'm switching it up." Is that disrespect on my angle?
No.
Or am I supposed to just stick to it? Like, how do I approach that?
Yeah, no, you're fine with that. You're fine. Because it's, you know what I mean? Like, he's showing you the respect. Like, "I know you're in here. You probably love the way the tuna tastes, the way I'm making it up here. We're knocking it out. It's a sandwich shop. Fantastic, happy customer." But no, you should never. You should put it this way. It's more respectful to tell him. If he tells you every time you walk in there, "Now, tuna," that's a sign of respect, even if you don't want it and you don't order at that point.
All right. That
like, I might be in the back of the sandwich shop here. You know, my guy walks in, "Yo, extra roast beef on that, right? Yeah, yeah. Oh, you know what? Let me get the chicken cutlet sandwich. My guy, you know, coming right up for you, man." See what I mean?
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
The respect is, I remembered you coming in as a customer. It's like, damn, that's, you know, it's kind of personable. Like, it's not annoying that they remember your order. It's like, awesome, man. Usual, yep, you know it. Or the usual, yeah, you know what? Let me switch it up today. Let me get the broccoli rob chicken cutlet, char provolone. Send that out. Ooh, I like it. You know what I mean? So that yeah, no, absolutely.
All right.
Yeah, don't feel ashamed. Like, you know what? Now I can't, like, I don't feel like eating another tuna sandwich. But if I go in the sandwich shop, I gotta eat tuna again today, man.
I was like, "Oh, I can't let this guy down, man. All right, let's do it." And they're big sandwiches, Donnie. You got to be in the mood for tuna to get the tuna.
Exactly.
And I usually am. But I'm like, "I can't run tuna back this soon."
Yep. Hey, man, you want to go out for a nice Italian sandwich today or a nice hoagie today? Like, I would love it, but I don't feel like eating tuna. What do you mean eating tuna? We're going to you get an Italian, you get a roast beef, you get a turkey and cheese. What do you mean you get a tuna? Yeah, like, I got to, like, "Hey, hon, go in there and grab these two sandwiches here." And then it's like, "No, hold on now." He sees you out the door, like, "Why is he in the car getting these sandwiches?" And then you're like, "Oh, no, he spotted me. Now I can't even go back in for at least a month." Or maybe he's not even there at this point. Yeah, that's real life dilemma. That's like Seinfeld dilemma stuff right there at this point. Yeah, no disrespect whatsoever. The respect is he remembers you as a customer. As opposed, like, now, if you went in there, like, every day at lunch, like, "I just love their tuna." Mm-hmm. And the dude taking your order never asked you if you wanted tuna. That's disrespectful at that point.
Right,
like, look, we know each other. And we know you order this every time. Like, you walk in the door like, "Hey, what size you want? Oh, you want the large?" "Oh, there, large." "Hey, guys, get it going already." Like, "Ah, my guy." Now, if he did that to you, maybe you can't turn it down because it's already, like, your wheels are in motion.
Exactly.
But yeah,
that's a good point.
No, you're okay with that. Or you walk in, it's like, "Man, I knew you were coming in at noon. I already made it up for you." Like, my guy. Yeah, my guy. Boom.
Now,
thanks, Brody.
Like, that's a dream. Now, that's a dream.
That is. Yep.
I might just
walk in.
Honestly, that would be worth it just to have that happen. Like, just I show up here every day on the dot 12:30.
Yes. Yep. Respect. Respect it. All right, let's get to the phones here. Let's show some respect to the callers. First up, Chris in Austin. He's ready to go on a championship Monday in college football and wild card Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. What's up there, Chris?
DRS, Kev, man. Good to hear from you guys today. I'm super excited about tonight. A quick thing. I'm really here for the college football, but Miami's going to lose. The Cowboys should win. I don't know about your Eagles, man. And the best game to me is the Cleveland-Houston game. And they put that, like you said yesterday, at 3 o'clock the first game.
That's so funny.
But, I mean, that C.J. Stroud is the truth, man. I said, wow, on that first pass in that game in Indianapolis, and Trevor Lawrence, okay, this was year 5, 6, and I was the biggest Trevor Lawrence fan coming when he came out of the draft.
Yeah.
I thought he had superstar written all over him. And your boy, Doug Peterson, something happened in Jacksonville, man. I don't know. And I'm worried about Trevor Lawrence. He's a great kid. He's got everything you want, but they're not winning with him. Do you pay him? I don't know. But let's talk about the big game tonight, man. I am so excited. And if you guys noticed, that line moved on us. It went from 4.5 to 5.5. And boy, you know, I jumped. And it's back down to 4.5. Uh-oh. And they've been faking on this money line. I think they need some Michigan money. They need some Michigan money. And they run a game. I'm telling you, Washington wins this game. Michigan and Texas and Oregon are real similar teams. They like to run the ball. Texas and Oregon got better quarterbacks than Michigan. Knicks and L. Ewers, we've got better skill position players than Michigan. And Washington beat us both, beat Oregon twice. And now you're going to tell me that Michigan, who was a run, ground, and pound coming out of that weak, blankety blank Big Ten, is going to take on Washington, who can throw, and they've got a sneaky good defense. That end can rush the passer. He gave Ewers hell all day last week. I'm telling you, I don't see a case where Michigan wins the game. They don't have enough offense. It's a bad matchup. And when you take the statistics out of the Big Ten, when you're playing these Iowa-type offenses, and then try to do that with a transitive property and think that that's going to apply to Washington, I don't think so, man. I got about a big play for me. Usually I'm just a $50, $25, $100 better. I'm in a little bit more on this one. That's how confident I am in Washington tonight. So let's see what happens. I'm glad you guys will be with us tonight when we go into the game. You know I'll be right there with you.
Yep.
I put on my headphones. I got the game. I got DRS. I got Cam. And I got Lisi.
Yep,
let's
you got
go.
Me. Yep. We'll be there. K-Dub, we will be there rocking and rolling tonight. And I did get official word the chat box is open tonight. So it is going to be an unbelievable time for the college football championship game tonight. What do you say? What do you feel?
You will not be there, sir, and you know it.
I don't know how I would have handled 6 hours on the air. You know, TV, you know, not the... by the way, if the setup would have been tonight, Kevin, I'd have just been ripping off play after play. Like, but you wouldn't care tonight, though, because you're not really, you know, caring about Michigan, Washington, right?
No, I still would have cared. I still would have cared. I'm trying to explain the whole thing to you.
No, there is no explanation.
Just kept going.
Exactly. There is. You might find me next Monday night doing the show from a remote location, which is probably in the same studio, just in another room, coming up Monday night.
Yeah,
so get ready for that one. Get ready for that, people. Let's get back to the phone lines here, K-Dub. We got some more callers waiting on the line, 844-843-6879. Red Tail, great state of West Virginia. He's in the house. What's up, Red Tail?
How's it going, fellas?
Hello there.
I keep going back and forth on this game. I'm rooting for the Huskies. Not a big Michigan fan, but I can see both sides playing out. And I loved your point that I don't think the spread matters. So I was trying to find a parlay that I thought made sense that could not lose. You know how that goes. Felix over a touchdown and a half passing, and Corum to rush for 90-plus yards, and that's at a plus 159. And I don't see either side of that parlay losing. You guys agree with that?
I like you, K-Dub. Yeah, I agree. I do.
I mean,
K-Dub doesn't like it.
The game turns out, I think both of those happen, so...
What do you think about the total tonight, Red Tail? Scoring, non-scoring, light scoring? What are you thinking?
I like the under.
Value?
I think it goes under. I think Michigan tries to take the air out of the ball, keep Pinnock off the field. I don't know. I don't know, but guys, this thing is, I think both sides are one. I could see a lot of stuff happening tonight. But I cut the first half out of the bed.
Yeah,
for Chris
Davenport,
Texas and the Scoop Browns.
There you go. You know what? Because I know where he's going on that too, right? Because I can see it both ways tonight. That's why I said, like, don't worry about the spread. Like, if I wake up tomorrow morning, Kevin, 34-20, Washington, I'm like, ooh, it's a really good football game. I wake up tomorrow, 34-20, Michigan, it's a really good football game. I could see it going that way. I'm interested to see the game flow right off the bat, to be honest, because there's a little part of me that goes, let me see Penix just spin it against this team and have a good offensive line and block enough to give Penix time to throw, and you just start eating with those wide receivers. Like, I want to see it a couple different ways, which I would love a track meet. Why? Because I am invested in more points than not in this one, so.
Yeah, I think this is a spot, though, again, where if it's going to fly through the number, Washington is going to have to be up and leading in this game. I saw a prop, Donnie. I'm curious if it has any interest to you. Mm-hmm. Largest lead of the game, over on 17.5.
The half is a big one.
It is.
That's basically 21 points. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I probably would lean towards the under in that spot.
Because and even it is if, like, Washington is getting,
yeah, like, even, like, Washington's not used to getting dogged out. Neither is Michigan. But if, like, you know, 14, like, Michigan can put it on a team. So can Washington. But yeah, that's a tough. The half probably is the stickler for me to say under. Three touchdowns. You're looking at that point. I don't think it's going to get three touchdowns tonight. Yeah, it does. All right, we'll be back. It's a Monday night college football championship day right here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah, buddy. Championship Monday Night Football. Washington Huskies, Michigan Wolverines. Says 7:30 kick time, which would be a dream come true. Not a shot that I will be. Actually, you know what? I can't say that. Because I do have a couple bets tonight, and this game might bring me in. But here's my downfall. You don't know who my downfall is tonight, Kevin, in this game? Halftime.
Mm-hmm.
Halftime is going to be excruciatingly long, and I don't think I'll be able to make it. The NFL, I know I'm in for about 15 minutes. In college, like 30. I don't know if I can make it in past that.
I never understood why the halftime is so long in college.
Because they're buffoons.
Like, is there a reason behind it?
Yeah. Oh, there's a reason, Kevin. Do you know? Like, in the NFL, they're like, okay, we got to keep it within a 3-hour time limit. Because if they thought about it, and they did back in the day, it was like, okay, well, why don't we just have the longest halftime ever? Because people just get slaughtered on beers and spend $10 a beer. But no, you got to keep the game moving along. But in college, those bozos with tradition, which Kevin was never supposed to be like this. The college football way of life, like, let's just take a look at, I don't know, Kevin, 30s, 40s, 50s, maybe even into the 60s. The band was part of the game day experience, which we all got and we all enjoyed, right? So, okay, halftime, the bands come out, perform. Yeah, it's fun. And there's our band, there's your band, they play the fight song and you move along. But Kevin, we weren't meant to have 60,000 commercial breaks. So you could say, okay, well, let's spend 25 minutes on halftime because that's pageantry of college football. Yeah, well, the first and second half went by quickly here. They don't anymore. So now you still have the bands come out at halftime and it's ridiculously long. Like, you understand, like, for the Super Bowl, you have the halftime performance because the Super Bowl is not just about football. It's a worldwide stage. It's for entertainment. It's the football guys that love football will watch it anyway. But now you bring in the other folds, the wives, the sisters, the daughters, you know, and everybody wants to watch the Super Bowl. But that's not the case. Like, we don't stop the college football championship game, Kevin, and be like, okay, 30 minutes of the Michigan band. Let's have at it. They just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk because the band is out on the field. Enough with it. Enough.
Yeah, it's one of the, you know, it's funny, right? Because yesterday we were all kind of getting ready for the morning pro football today. And I was like, hey, who's doing the halftime show? And nobody knows the, like, you know what I mean? It's not like,
yeah,
like if the Super Bowl is like a big thing. Like this Super Bowl, it, like the college football halftime show, it's just like, when you're at home, Donnie, I imagine their drop off is significant as like for halftime.
Sure.
In terms of the ratings, in a way that it shouldn't have to be.
No, it just keep it moving. But the thing I do like is the game is on earlier than it typically was even 10 years ago. So at least they're making that effort. But again, still to have the Sugar Bowl finish up at 1 a.m., that's a travesty. And you're doing a disservice to college football where a lot of people can't watch that game or finish it. Not because they're like, well, hey, I have the day off the next day. No, you're just staying up late. Like, most people don't stay up till 1 a.m. to watch a sporting event. Average casual fans, like, oh, I'll catch it in the morning. And, you know, I already saw the Alabama game, so that's fine. But, yeah, take the bands out of the game, shorten the game up, and away we go there. Let's get back to the phone lines here on a hot Monday right here on the Sports Grid Network. It's Keith from Kansas, ready to go. What's up, Keith?
Not so hot here, man. I got in a blizzard right now. We got to get in about 10 to 14 inches of snow here today with about 40 mile an hour winds. So hey, did give me a day off, the road, not driving, so it's all good.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I wanted to give you guys a shout out, man. You guys helped me get across the finish line. I won that NFL pool. I went with Big Ten pick, Big Ten Ben with the Raiders. On your right side, it gave me a little unders in the Rams and the Ravens.
Mm.
And I went with my hunch play. I went with the Giants because I had to think the Eagles were sucking. So I went 4 out of 5.
They were.
Won the contest by 1 point, and I just got from my guy's house and picked up all the money. So it's a good day today.
Oh, that is a good day, brother. What are you looking at tonight, by the way? What do you think about the college football game tonight?
Oh, well, funny thing here, too. I went with your preseason pick all the way back in August with Washington Huskies winning the Pac-12. Wow. So they're gonna keep it going. They're going to keep it going. They got a good team, good O-line, good quarterback, good wideouts, pretty star defense. I think Michigan might just get a little tight, maybe get a few costly turnovers there and kind of cost them the game. Kind of what I'm thinking.
A lot of Washington love here. I like that thing. You set up anything for this weekend's actions? Caleb, good scope any NFL stuff?
Yep.
What do you got?
Yep. I'll give you this and I'll head out. Weather report. Kansas City in my area in Kansas, it's been pretty mild winter here so far. But like you said, that Arctic blast is coming Friday, Saturday night. And around the Kansas City area, man, it's supposed to be like around kickoff, 5 degrees, 15, 20 mile an hour winds. It's going to be a cold one out there ahead, but you guys have a good day. We'll see you.
There you go. Keep checking in, picking up some cash. Never wrong with that, Kevin. That's nice to win it. To win a season-long competition and to win it by 1 point with a total sweat all the way to the end, it's pretty good stuff to pick up the dough. No, Kev. There you go. Kev was enthralled by that. By the way, the callers today, sensational stuff. I'm getting the vibe out here that it's a Washington Huskies vibe. Which is interesting to me here. And I don't hate it at all. You guys know me throughout the entire season. Who's Captain Michigan Hater? Who's your boy DRS? Absolutely it was. This comes from saying, I can see the game going both ways, but I still really do like Michigan. I think Michigan is the right side tonight. I think their offense is going to be tough to get off of the field here. By the way, Kev, last phone call there, Keith from Kansas.
Yeah.
Picks up the dub on the season-long pool here by one game.
Oh, like ATS?
Yes.
Wow, really nice. Awesome.
Picked up the dough right there. And we're ready for tonight. And he was giving us the early scattering report on how freezing cold it is in Kansas City. And how freezing cold it will be this weekend, and they're getting, 12 inches of snow. Wild times, man. Tough scene for the Miami Dolphins at this point.
Don, are you going to be playing in any playoff pools or anything like that?
Like, I don't even have. How would it even work?
There's one thing I've done for the last maybe two or three seasons now, where it's basically fantasy football, but it's really tied to your picks.
Okay.
So you take you have to take a player off of each team, all 14, two quarterbacks, two running backs, two receivers, two tight ends, two flex, two defense, two kickers. Right? And obviously most points at the end wins, but, and I'm sure you can imagine, if your quarterbacks are, let's go low end, Jordan Love and Mason Rudolph, well, you don't have any quarterbacks if they're eliminated in round one. So you got to be strategic with it, right? But obviously, Lamar and Brock Purdy are capped at 3 games, where if one of these teams playing in the wild card round can get a 4th game. So that's something that I've done, Don, and it is fun. And I know, we obviously here don't talk a ton of fantasy, but I know you've played countless DFS contests. And this stuff all applies, too. So that's something I may get involved in. I don't know if you have any interest.
Yeah, we might have to this weekend. Because the one thing that's interesting is we still have 3-hour shows both days, Saturday and Sunday, and we don't have that full slate. It's like, hey, we just don't have enough time. We might work in some fun on, again, I don't want to say a contest is the right word, but maybe like who is going to lead the day. You know what I mean? Like put together like a fantasy team. I'll get down with that because they have a lot of fun in those pools depending on what site you're going on at that point. Might be something to work in and have some fun with this weekend because you're right. Just to add some intrigue to, yes, we're going to be excited for these football games, no doubt, but it's not like you have that entire board to sort of tackle. So we'll maybe invent some ways here to have some fun and kick it off and do some damage. Saturday, Sunday, and Monday this weekend. Just setting the table again. Cleveland, Houston, 4:30 p.m. Eastern on Saturday, followed by Miami, Kansas City. Then the Sunday games, 1:430 and 8:15. Pittsburgh, Buffalo, Green Bay, Dallas, Rams, Detroit. And the final game is on Monday night. That's the Philadelphia Eagles and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. There's two indictments here. Number one is, like, I do think that the Detroit Lions are getting a little bit shortchanged, but now I'm seeing 3.5s primarily across the board now. So at least they're not threes anymore, and I agree with that. But I do think it's the Eagles can't get out of their own way. But I sort of revolve this around, Kevin, betting in the NBA and how the odds makers handle betting in the NBA. And it's like, maybe they're thinking like me. The game didn't matter yesterday. The Eagles took the gut punch and just played bad against Arizona. But they're going like, look, if the Eagles show up and they're somewhat healthy, Tampa Bay stinks and they should be able to beat them. And I kind of, I don't, now granted, I'm not running to the window to bet the Eagles, but I kind of agree. Like, the Eagles should be favorites against Tampa Bay.
I think they should be favorites. I think, again, you think about what the betting markets would do, Donnie, if they weren't. It would be just such an avalanche of Philly money, right? And I also think, you know, it's funny, Tampa Bay covered against Carolina, but they sure didn't look great doing it. Now, the defense held up their end.
Mm-hmm.
The defense did hold up their end. I mean, the Carolina thing, I got to tell you, Donnie.
Bottomed out.
So, understandably, you've taken a lot of shots at Tepper and kind of the nature of how he's running the organization.
Mm-hmm.
But usually when a GM gets fired, you know, the tweets come out of what a guy has done.
Yes.
I mean, the mistake Tepper made was letting the guy Fredder ever make the decision of what to do with the first overall pick or trading up for the first overall pick. Because, I mean, that's about as bad of a track record as I've ever seen, I feel like, a GM have that actually had a legitimate reign at the top of an organization. My goodness.
Yeah, we took this. The topic came up because the news was starting to roll out. Like, you know, I mean, we could have spent all day talking about Ron Rivera. We knew he was getting canned at that point. But when the GM gets fired, like down there, you take a look at it and say to yourself, my premise was, I don't think I've ever seen a trade this impactful against your organization. Do you know what I mean? Because that's supposed to be like, okay, we're never really going to draft this high. I got a team on the phone. Yeah, it's going to be expensive, but we can go up to number one and get our guy. And when I say our guy is a quarterback that should play in the league for 10 years. Is he going to win a Super Bowl? I don't know. Is he going to be horrible? Probably not. But we'll be able to have a fighting chance over 10 years if you make this move here, as opposed to saying like, oh, maybe we could trade for Tannehill. Do you see what I mean? Like, you eventually put your stake in the ground. We're not wiping out Bryce and saying, you know, he's never going to be able to play quarterback. But when you have a season where you are so horrendous on offense, because I don't know if it was coaching, if it was just the atmosphere, you don't have enough players, that's one thing. But when you wind up with a season that bad, you know what usually happens? Like, wow, this is interesting. They drafted number one last year, and they're going to draft number one again this year. Do they take a quarterback and just burn their last year's pick? The fact that they don't even have that pick and their team stinks that bad and their owner is a maniac, organizations very rarely find themselves in this type of scenario.
Yeah, it's a bad one they're in. You're not, but you know, how do you dig out of this? Like, they feel like, oh, should they trade Bryce Young? I don't know what you would get for
who?
Bryce Young. Right. Well, that's the thing, Donnie. Right. Like, who is going to take who this offseason will be looking for a quarterback outside of the draft is a really, really interesting question. Because I don't know how long that list is actually going to be.
But like, it's one thing, because it would come up like you would say, like with Arizona, or like, forget about Arizona. Let's just go Chicago Bears. So, well, who would take Justin Fields? You're like, wow, well, who are you going to get? Well, I have the number one pick, so I'm going to get my franchise guy. Like, you don't have that scenario for the Carolina Panthers, which is the worst case. Like, it's like, oh, you know, maybe we have to fire Sam for a fourth-round pick, but who really cares? Like, we're getting our franchise guy. We made a bad pick last year. We're going to sell it off, and we're going to restart with a great pick here. They don't have that. Like, they can't even do that. So they're just going to be like, hey, maybe we can get Daniel Jones for free off the Giants, and that'll be our guy. It's like, man, you guys are really falling far at this point.
The crazy, to your point, is if Carolina did have the first pick this year, they would be drafting quarterback.
Yes.
There would be no, hey, come on, give Caleb a chance.
Yes.
It would be, no.
New coach, new GM, they're like, that ain't my guy. This is my guy. That's what new GMs do. It's like, that's not, you know, that's, I don't have any attachment to that. I can't help you if you burned a first rounder or the first overall pick on that guy. I would, even though they don't, will never say it. Like, I would never have drafted that guy, so it's not my guy. Stop. But yeah, that's a tough scene for the Carolina Panthers. They're going nowhere fast. But I got to tell you, the guy who gets the job in Carolina, if he's a sought after coach, he's going to be able to buy his own island at this point. That agent is going to do work on that team, and David Tepper understands how much he's going to have to pay. One more segment here on a Monday afternoon right here on the grid for Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, boy. Championship will be decided on the field tonight. Live from Houston, 7:30. I guess that's a telecast, maybe probably 15 minutes later, hopefully 20 minutes later. That game will be underway. Washington and Michigan, 4.5-point line total, 55.5, 56.5, depending on where you're shopping at tonight. I think it's a big Blake Corum night overall. And I have a vested parlay that I have in the mix tonight here. Have you bet anything straight? Or is that one of the things that's going to come a little bit later once you pop in?
I'll let the people know, but still, please do tune in tonight. I'm on the under at 56.5. Mm-hmm. I'm on Donovan Edwards 50.5 rushing plus receiving over, and I'm going back to Jalen McMillan, Donnie, at 59.5 receiving yards over. And I'm so glad you reminded me because I wanted to tell you this. Mm-hmm. I took your bet 16-1 each team touchdown field goal each half little shot.
Come on now, let's get after it in a dome. Should be able to make kicks here. Ball should be moving. My same game parlay bet 365 boosted with 30%. Blake Corum to score a touchdown tonight, Blake Corum over 100 yards rushing, and J.J. McCarthy over 1.5 passing touchdowns. So again, I was saying in the show today, if you get a dump-off pass again, which is very rare what happened in the Alabama game, that's a party starter right there. Corum catches a touchdown pass from McCarthy, and away you go. But I'm also going to finagle into something a little bit later, a little bit more fun. One of those, you know, 25 yards here, 50 yards there. Have some fun with that. But I was comfortable betting that. I haven't bet the game straight yet, but I have a feeling I will be on Michigan 4.5 straight. I think they win this ball game. But I think I like the props a little bit better to sort of climb the ladder with some parlay stuff here. And that's why he said, well, Donnie, you love Michigan. Why don't you take them to win the game? Well, I also told you that I can see both of these teams winning. I'm just more confident that Michigan is going to have a clean offensive game, and they always lean on Corum. So we'll see if that happens tonight. It should be a lot of fun to watch it play out. And again, getting you ready for an NFL wild card weekend this week. The boys will be live in studio tonight for College Football Today, 6 p.m. till. It's one of those where it's like, you know, when the party's good, hey, what are we doing tonight? We're going to have a party at my house. How are we doing? Hey, till the party's over, man. You never know. You might get triple overtime in the building today. Might be working till 3 a.m. You might hand off to the early line tomorrow as you guys get out of the studio. A lot of fun to be had. Thanks for tuning on a Monday. The callers are calling in and letting it rip. We got a big week this week on the Sports Grid Network, so make sure you keep it here. You know what's coming up next? It's Coast to Coast. Tune in. See ya.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.